Keep me sheltered, keep me fed. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Amen, amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. God has been good to you. Say amen. Amen. He woke us up this morning, started us on our way, allowed us to be able to come into his presence and to be able to share in this great thing called today. It is a gift that we received that everybody did not receive. Some folk went down and didn't get up. So if you got up and you're able to be here this morning, then you count yourself in good company. We are in the land of the living, and we are blessed and given this day called, that's why it's called present. Amen. It's a present that we get today to be in the present. Amen. We want to, first of all, just welcome any of our visitors that are visiting with us for the very first time. We're thankful for your visit on this morning. We don't make you get up and do a big speech or anything like that, but we would just love just see your hand, just a hand in the air if this is your first time here this morning. Amen. God bless. God bless. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're thankful for your visit and for you being here. We have some information on the way out, a packet of information, tell you a little bit about who we are, and so we welcome you to receive that at the appropriate time. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. I decided to expand the reading a little bit, but I only have verses 9 through 14 on the screen. So I want to go to verse 1, and then we'll pick up on the screen verses 9 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 reads, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all of God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up from you in heaven and about which you already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you in the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God and being strengthened with all the power according to the glorious might, so that you might have endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us out into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for another opportunity that we have to allow your word to minister to us. You, through the Holy Spirit and through prophets and apostles, have written down these words through, once again, the Holy Spirit who has given us the truth of your word, that we might be able to learn of it and be able to follow it, Lord, as our instruction, as the Bible often is referred, the basic instructions before leaving earth. Help us, Father, to look at your word. Help us to not only be hearers of your words, but doers of your word. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he is in prison. He didn't rob a bank, and he didn't do anything wrong. He was preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, and oftentimes to people who didn't want to hear how good of news he had. Paul is chained for the very purpose of the gospel. And he's never visited Colossae, and so he's writing this letter to them. A man, Epaphras, one of their own local men, he heard the gospel while Paul was in Ephesus. And he was fired up from that same gospel, took it back to his hometown, and began to share it with other people. He helped to build churches as well, the church nearby churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And Paul calls him in verse 7, which we already read, a faithful minister. He took the word and he disseminated it and he shared it with others, and he allowed others to grow through the very word. And he saw that the church was growing so much once again that he expanded even into these other areas, sharing the gospel and preaching. And as a result of that, entering, helping people to enter into the kingdom of his dear son. And so, but now Epaphras is standing there with Paul, and he's sharing with him what's going on back home in our home church. He says that the church is growing, but there's trouble. There's trouble. There's a trouble that's happening right there in that time. That there were some that were saying, look, Jesus is good, but there's more than just that. We need something more than Jesus alone. Colossae was a small trading city, just so you can see a little bit of the mix and what's going on there. They had Greeks, Jews, and others that would travel there from all different parts of land. And so in a place such as that, you had a whole different idea, lots of ideas, lots of different philosophies, lots of different teachings. And then they were taking the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were mixing it within their own religions, many pagan religions that were there at that time. There were some that were believing that if, once again, the simplicity of the gospel wasn't enough. We need more. We need something more eccentric. And so there were many that had came out of pagan darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, but they were still holding on to some things. They had their idols still. They were looking for evil spirits, and they were looking toward angel worship and all sorts of different things, astrology and the stars as well. And then, of course, there were some that were looking for knowledge and special revelation. You know, there were some that believed that the Bible that we have in our hands, that there's a secret code buried within, beneath. And so you've got to have, you know, some, you know, like the glasses that you used to wear that would reveal certain things, and you'd be able to write in invisible ink, but there was a certain way to be able to see it and all that. Some people thought that that's the Bible. It's a book, but within it, oh, there are mysteries within that we can be able to get to. And so people are enamored, and people still are enamored by these type of things today. Is Jesus enough? Is what he did at the cross enough? If his message, his simple message, his death, which isn't as simple as we might think, but according to the many of the philosophers and all that, they want more than just Jesus. See, Jewish legalism started saying you don't need only Jesus, you need the law, you need circumcision, you need the sacrifices, you need all these other things, and that Jesus alone wasn't enough unless you mixed in Jesus with these things. The Greek philosophers, they believed that you need that special wisdom and all that, and so they would debate and they would do all these sorts of things in order, and they would love to just have these mental exercises to try to get us to find, to kind of mix in the philosophies of this world into the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you had mysticism, which is still rampant right now. You need visions, angel worship, these spiritual experiences. And many people are looking for an experience in order to experience God. And so some would take substances in order to kind of get that euphoria, to see God in a certain way. You know, there are some that go into the jungles of Peru. Hello. Trying to have an experience with God when God has already given us enough right there. And then there are those that would believe that this body itself is evil. And so they would scourge themselves. They would refrain, touch not, handle not, don't taste. You know, they would make all these different rules of what you should and shouldn't do in this body. And sometimes even scourge their own bodies because they said the flesh is evil. See, sometimes things sound so spiritual. You know, that we, right now we're living in a day that this is still happening. I go on the internet and I see someone who purports to be a Christian taking Christian things, and then they've got tarot cards playing right there. They're looking for something Jesus plus something else. Jesus is enough. And sometimes these things that sound so spiritual and so wise and so, you know, they what they do is they put pressure on, especially on young believers, people that don't know. I remember being in churches and I saw a lot of stuff going on, and they called it spiritual. And because I didn't have enough information, it was hard for me to refute it and to fight against it. And so I believe, even though it didn't sense right, it didn't feel right, it didn't seem right from what I was reading, what I did understand, I didn't want to say anything against it because it looked spiritual, and they claim and they labeled it as Jesus. Well, young believers right now are under pressure. They're under pressure. Is the simplicity of the gospel enough? Now, in that time, you recognize once again, they were coming out of this, many of them out of pagan idolatry. And so there was a pull to go back. I understand you got Jesus, but the family's saying, well, hold on. Did you forget about our gods? Did you forget about our religion? Did you forget about? And so there was a pressure to go backward, or at least to combine what they knew with what they had always known. And then the most disturbing thing wasn't even those that they had come out of. It was those that within the church itself were starting to say, Jesus is not enough. You've got to have this circumcision. You've got to have this. You've got to have that. You've got to have all these other rules built up beside the simplicity, once again, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their struggle is still our struggle. Their challenges are still our challenges, not just for the young, not just for the young believer, but even for us, older ones, us. There are so many conflicting things being thrown at us sometimes. It's hard to understand what's right and what isn't, because sometimes things look, they have this sense and an appearance of spirituality, but they're empty. They're empty without the truth of God's word. You see, some would say, hey, you need Jesus plus be a success and have all this money, and then that's going to prove that the Jesus was enough. Amen. And then there were some that say, you need Jesus, but not only Jesus, you got to be a Jesus. If you're really going to be with Jesus, you got to be the right political party. You got to have the right political stance and things of that nature. You need Jesus plus that. Or you need Jesus plus the self-help guru or those that are teaching all these other philosophies out there. You need Jesus plus this extra revelation that someone else is able to give you that's, oh, you might not find it in the Bible, or maybe we'll find it in obscure text and stuff like that, and blow it up to make it sound more spiritual than it really is. Or Jesus plus whatever spiritual trend is out there, because they come and they go. Amen. They come and they go. But with all these conflicting ideas being thrown at us, people get weary. People get discouraged. People start scratching their heads and wondering, you know, first of all, am I enough walking in the simplicity of what I understand and what I know? Is there something more? Do I need to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until all of a sudden now, someone was talking to me about the third eye being open this week. Is your third eye open? Is the pineal gland open for you and all that? I'm saying the word of God is enough. We looked at the wisdom of Agur a few weeks ago and all that, and he said, I'm the most brutish of all men. But one thing he understood is all I got to do is follow Jesus. I don't have to understand everything. All I got to do is follow God, is follow his word. I don't need to know it all because I can't. He said, who's going into heaven and come down? Who's been able to, who's God that we would know all things? But if we follow the truth of God, then we're going to get the benefits of it. Amen. We talked about this on Wednesday morning, right? You know, I don't understand microwave and exactly how it all works and all that. I mean, I have a basic understanding of what's going on, but I really don't know.
I know there are microwaves that warm up the food. That's as much as I know. I don't know how they got it into this little box. But I don't have to know all that. All I got to do is plug that thing in, and I'm going to get the benefit and the blessing of the wisdom that's already contained within there. I don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to figure life all out in order to be able to allow God's word to work for you. No, we've just got to follow God, and that will be enough.
Let's look at something Paul writes again. He says that we want to be filled with the very knowledge of God. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And we're constantly asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives. You notice he's emphasizing what the Spirit gives. He's talking about knowledge because that was one of the issues that they were going through at that time. Many wanted the special revelation, special knowledge, a special depth of knowledge that comes. And Paul's saying all the knowledge we need is the knowledge that comes through the Holy Spirit. In other words, God's word is truth. And he emphasizes that the thing. There are some people that are going to take the knowledge of God and try to twist it and change it in order to manipulate the minds of men. Look at what he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive.
That's right. Through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ Jesus. There's the battle. There's the battle. The battle is against our own mind. The battle is against our own desires. Our own desires to try, really to want to be like God, to want to think like God, to want to see things like God. But do we realize that there is only one God? There's a measure that he gives to us and all of that. But still, how can I truly understand God? How can I truly understand a God that is eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing? I ain't all-knowing. You ain't all-knowing. We know a little bit about what's going on right now. God knows all of it. And it says, see to it that no one takes you captive. So there are some people that are trying to do just that. They're trying to use these philosophies. They're trying to use these things. And here's the thing. Jesus doesn't need any help. His word doesn't need any help. Amen. I mean, you may need help understanding the word, but we don't need beyond. It's complete. It's given to us for everything that we need, right? We're complete in this word. And so we need nothing else, but there's a battle that's going on, it says here. The elemental spiritual forces of this world are battling, and they're using human tradition, they're using deception, they're using these hollow philosophy which depends on human tradition. But he says instead, focus on Christ. Listen to what the scripture teaches in Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask who?
God.
Ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Here's the thing. God wants us to know his will. So many times we think, even within our fellowship, we think if we can apply the right formula, we could figure God out. Come on. If we apply the right formula, maybe it's command, example, necessary inference, and that's the formula that is going to always punch out the right answer. I don't know. I've seen a lot of division with this pattern. Right? Why?
Why? It's not that the intent was wrong. The intent was right. I want to figure out what the word says and do what the word says and all that. It's that we've created this. And then, and this is often what happens even in idolatry. We create something ourselves and then we put it on the mantle and then we sit down and we bow down to it. And y'all see what I'm saying? We create it and then think it's flawless because we've created it. And then its application varies from place to place to place. If you want to talk about that another time, you can let me know. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. His will isn't hidden. We don't need a secret code or specialized way or special revelation in order to do it. Well, the only secret code we need is the Holy Spirit that's within us. We need to be in the Spirit. We need to have the Spirit within us. And we need to recognize that the Spirit enabled and gave the apostles and the prophets and those that wrote these letters, that he worked through them in order to get us the truth of God's word. Now, here's the reality. Even with everything that we have, we're not going to have all the answers for everything. The Lord didn't give us every answer to every question in the Bible. He really didn't. He gives us enough. He gives us plenty enough evidence for faith, for sure. But he doesn't answer every question that's on our minds. There's so many questions that I still have. Mark and I, sometimes we're talking about things, and I just got to say, honestly, I don't know. And then guess what? He'll go, I don't know either. This is what I think. This is what I kind of see. But there's some things I know that I know that I know, and there's some things that I know I don't know. Hello. And it's okay. It used to frustrate me thinking that I had to have every I dotted and every T crossed. I had to understand every single mystery. I had to understand every single prophecy. I had to understand all of those things. And it would drive you crazy if that's the way. And it was driving me crazy. It would drive you crazy until you get to that point to recognize it's just not possible. As smart as you are, as studied as you are, we're going to be confronted with some things that are going to challenge us. But God is still, and Jesus is still enough. He says, let me go back to, what did I do? There we go. We got to get back now. Hold on. Light the fire. All right. Dum, dum. Here we go. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I want you to see that so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord. Paul just doesn't want us to get knowledge. And sometimes, you know, when we just get knowledge for knowledge's sake, the Bible tells us what happens. Knowledge does what? It puffs us up. We get big headed. We start thinking we're somebody. We start walking with our chest out and our head up and can't nobody tell me nothing. You know, do the George Jefferson walk. Hello. You know? And we get big headed. Knowledge puffs up. And especially because that can become an intimidation thing. You ever talk to a really smart person? We're talking about the intricacies of the and they're like, I don't know what you're even talking about, you know, thermodynamics and thermonuclear, blah, 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 blah. And I go, all right. But it could puff you up a little bit. I know more than you. I see further than you can see in all of that. And so, and one thing, I'm not knocking knowledge. I went to school. I believe in encouraging people to get and all that, but the balance. The more I know, come on, Mark, finish my sentence. The more I know, The more we know, the more we recognize what we don't know. The more I see in Scripture, the more I see the gaps that of my where my knowledge isn't able to meet and all that. And so when we get to those places, of course, Lord, we call on the Lord for His wisdom. But sometimes what happens is we try to fill those gaps in with these earthly ways. Some smooth-talking person comes by and shows and tries to portray as if they have this special revelation, special knowledge that they don't have. And there are some people that will follow after them. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He says they're going to come to you looking like they are sheep. They're wolves. Their nature is wolves. But man, they got that dress on good. Man, that wool is looking good, and they're docile and they're smooth talking and they do all those type of things. But it says, but inwardly, they're ravenous wolves, right? They're blind that lead the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, what does it say next? Both will fall into the ditch. And so we've got to be careful. We got to be careful. See, that's why we don't come to hoist up a man other than that man, Jesus Christ. You don't. This isn't Domingo's church. This isn't. No, this is Christ, the church of Christ. We lift up His name, and when we say something, we say, look, what, this is where to go. Book, chapter, and verse. Go back to the Word. Don't look at me. Look at Him. Look at His Word, and let's lift Him up. I'm going all over the place, I know, but it's all right. He said, we get in all this knowledge so that we might live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. In other words, as we're going to Scripture, what are we going to Scripture for? See, there are some that go to Scripture to look for how to overcome an objection in a debate. Right? There are some that go to, what are we going to Scripture for? Some are going to Scripture so that they can sound more intelligent when they're before people and be able to use the right terminology and all that. But he's saying that as we're going through and trying to get this knowledge of God, it is so we can learn how, just as Mark was saying earlier, how we can live like Jesus. We're looking at His model, and we're looking at the way that He lived and the way that He loved. And I love the way everything just came together, even from the Scripture reading and the songs that we sang. This is God at work right now. And so we're learning of God so that we might become more and more like God. He says this worthy life, it bears itself and it shows itself in a few different ways. First of all, bearing fruit in every good work. No, first of all, being fully pleasing to Him. And when we do that, we're bearing fruit in every good work. That means I'm learning more and more of Jesus. I'm learning more and more about how to be a Christian. I'm learning more and more how to serve. I'm learning more and more how to sacrifice. I'm learning more and more how to give of myself. I'm learning more and more how to receive even the arrows that the world gives without giving the same back. How to forgive, how to serve, how to love. Then it says we're going to grow in the knowledge of Him. The more we know Him, the more we want to be like Him. The deeper and closer we get with God, the more we want to make sure that we're His mouthpiece and sharing the goodness and the grace that He's given to us. Look at Epaphras. Epaphras heard that gospel and it stirred him up so much. He wasn't a church planner, but he planted churches. Why? Because there was something within him that said, look, I've got to share what I have received. I've got to share what God has given to me. And it was a natural thing for him to go back home and say, look, I found something good. I found some good news. It's called gospel. And I want to share it to you. And as he shared it with others and the enthusiasm that he shared it with, it began to grow. Then he goes to other local areas and plants churches there as well. As far as I know, he didn't go to a preaching school. He didn't go to a school that was going to disciple him on how to, you know, put he it was a natural expression of the love and the devotion that he had of God. And as he learned more and more of Jesus, he wanted to tell more and more about Jesus. And then it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Being strengthened with power according to the glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. It takes me back to Isaiah chapter 40. The exiles, weary in that land, losing faith, losing hope. And just like the Colossians were tired and things were going on, and many of us feel that way sometimes too, trying to figure out, you know, what God's will is and all that. And they were getting weak. But Isaiah 40:28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, not to be mistaken with the Philadelphia Eagles. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Who strengthened them? Who gave them the ability to continue moving forward? God strengthened them for the journey, and they relied on him. And so as we become and go out and do his work and we learn more of God, it's exhausting. You know why it's exhausting? Because learning of God isn't just a head knowledge. Learning of God goes into your hands and into your feet. Learning of God is when a brother or sister calls and they say they have a need, and you have to try to scratch your head to figure out how to meet that need. Learning is when programs are happening in the church and you're trying to figure out how do we revive, and how do we, learning of God is thinking and praying and sharing and helping and being Christ to others. And it was exhausting for Christ. If you look at Christ and the crowds, when they would come around him, he would have to go off into a seclusion in order to regroup and able to talk to the Father to get refueled and renewed to go back and do the work. Because it's exhausting work. Because it's challenging to deal with people, and it's challenging for us, but that's what God has called us to. We're in the people, I say this all the time, we're in the people business. So we've got to deal with people. We've got to help people. We've got to even help people that sometimes you're like, man, I'm helping you again? It's exhausting. But it is the challenge that God has given to us, and he will strengthen us for this journey. He wants us to bear fruit in this good work and increase in the knowledge. And as we increase, it is so we can do, not just so we can put our degrees on the wall, not just so we can sound intelligent, not just so we can, you know, so that we can do the work that he's called us to do. Serving people, helping people. And when we get weak, here's the beautiful thing, we can call on him. When we lack wisdom, James says we can ask of God, and he desires to give us the tools and the answers. He's not going to be in a Da Vinci Code. He's not putting on sunglasses and all that, but he will reveal it in his way.
And then I should have put the scripture a few more times. Giving thanks, let's look at verse 11 again. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience. We could stay right there for a while. All the stuff we've gone through, it is to develop us, to have more and more, not to take it away, but so that we can continue doing it with more endurance and more patience.
giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. In other words, he's given us this picture of what we're already receiving right now in these heavenly places we're sitting, but especially what we are going to receive as well. Look at, he's qualified you. He's qualified Mark, Kamal, Cedric, Domingo, Cindy, Pat. I mean, he's qualified us. And I don't know. I think all the names that we called, we might be able to have a few issues in our lives. Amen. Something called S-I-N, called sin. But that's a common thing. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on, look what he's delivered us from. And he didn't deliver us from just, how do I put this? He didn't take us out of bondage. Just say, just go on. Go on now. Go on now. You remember when there were 10 lepers that Jesus healed? He delivered them from the sickness of leprosy. And in delivering them, there was one that went back home. Remember, he told them to go present themselves to the priest. That way they could now be restored and brought back into the fellowship once again. He said, go do that. Now, 9 of them went. And they sold themselves to the priest, and now they were cleansed, and now they were able to go back to their families and to their friends and all of that. But it said one did something different than the other 9. He came back to say, thank you, Lord. He came back to say, thank you. And then when Jesus saw him, what did he say about the others? Where are the other 9? Did I not heal 10 of you? Where are the other 9? See, God has brought us out of this dominion of darkness into his marvelous light for a purpose. Not so that we can be on display now in this marvelous light. No, so that we can share the light and show him as the light to the world that is in darkness, so that we can say, look at Jesus and look at the gospel and the good news that comes as a result of what he did at that cross. And we're to be spokesmen for him, ambassadors for his kingdom, those sharing the message of the good news, these glad tidings that others, because what's happening is there are so many others that are stuck. They stuck like Chuck. And they need help. We often look at in Acts chapter 8, this Ethiopian eunuch, he was stuck. He didn't know. And that's one of the blessings. He knew that he didn't know. And he said, Who is this Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other prophet? Who is he talking about? And from there, he took him to the word and he shared with him Jesus. And when it came to a certain water, he said, look, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? And they got out of the chariot, went down into the water, came up out of the water. We see the mode and the method. And then he went on his way rejoicing. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We were trapped in this darkness, but God rescued us. He transfers us out of Satan's kingdom and now into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And our sins are now forgiven, not because we've done something special, but because we've submitted to the work that Jesus did on our behalf. Maybe there's somebody here today. You recognize there's some choices we need to make. You know, the choices, are we going to follow the world? Are we going to think that our spirituality comes from the Word of God plus all these extras that are out there and all that? Will we follow other people, the smooth-talking ones that come and try to subvert subtle minds and try to pull them away unto themselves and try to sound? It sounds so spiritual and all that, but is it based in the Word of Almighty God? Or will we follow
the Lord. Obviously, my encouragement, let us follow the Lord. Let's follow the Lord who gives us the truth, who is the truth. And if we continue following him, even though we don't have to know every single thing, you don't have to know everything about everything. Know enough to follow him. That's enough. And he'll lead us even through those valleys of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we ask that you might help us and you might bless us, Lord. There's so much confusion in this world. Yeah. What do we need to do? How do we live for you? How do we live as those that just want you? And we don't need the fluff. We don't need the extras that this world has and all that, Lord. Help us to focus on the truth of your word. It's challenging enough, focusing on the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to desire to not just be hearers, but doers of your word. Help us to share, to sacrifice, to give, to suffer even as you suffered, Lord. You've shown us the way. It's not a popular way. It's not a way all desire. But you've shown us the way, Lord. Sacrifice and surrender to you. Help us to do so in our lives. Help us to look at ways in which we might be filled with your wisdom in order that we might live a life worthy of this great calling. Help us as we reflect and we remember your goodness, your grace, your mercy, what you've brought us out of and what you've brought us to and why you did it. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here today and you recognize and realize that it's your time to surrender and give it back to God and to surrender and come to him and recognizing that you can't do this yourself. The Bible says once again that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us in and of ourselves are strong enough, wise enough, able enough to forgive our own sins or to have our own sins forgiven even by our own actions. You see, there were some that believed that, well, in life, if you get to the end of life and you've done enough good, that there's a balance that God's going to use. If you've done evil and you've done too much evil, then you're gonna go down. And so if you've done enough good things, then he's going to welcome you in. And that is his standard. Well, That's why he tells us right from the get, all of you are sinners. And Isaiah shares with us that our sins are as filthy rags. Our works, rather, our goodness, the best that we can attain to, is filthy rags. But the Lord wants to cleanse us and wash us from that. He wants to do a work on us that we cannot do on ourselves, that religion can't do, that the circumcision can't do, that he wants to do the work right here in our hearts. Not an external work, but internal, to change us and change our direction and to help us to live for him and with him. Maybe there's someone here today and you know what you need to do. It's your time to surrender. You've heard this message often. But hearing the message, knowing his will, isn't enough. Are you ready to be a doer of his will? If you are, won't you come in repentance? Won't you come in surrender? Won't you come and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Won't you come and receive those gifts today? The Lord has done his work. Will you come and receive it? This is your opportunity right now. Come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.